Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you. And I'm very excited, and what I enjoy about our small, mighty church is I have the opportunity to be myself as I teach. I don't have to necessarily completely put on a facade of professionalism when it comes to being a pastor. Being in an environment where we are a small but mighty crew of a church, I get the opportunity to just be comfortable with everyone without the hindrance of feeling like I have to put on a show in some way. And so this might very well be one of the hardest sermons I give, but also one of the very honest sermons I give. And before we get into it, I'm just going to give you the verses we're going to go over. We're going to read the whole chapter of John 20, and we're going to go through the whole empty tomb resurrection story, but also other verses to know where this gospel account is in Matthew 28, all the verses there, Mark 16, and Luke 24. But today we're just going to read through John 20, and then right after we're going to pray. And so John 20 verse 1 reads this. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head of the other, at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That was a mouthful, but let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for what this day represents, and it's a day where we get to celebrate life and the life you gave and the life we've been given. And I just pray that you speak through me and that it be your words and not mine. And I just thank you that we get to do this, that we get to be here, and that we have a place where we could be in your presence, Lord. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I prep this message, it's probably the hardest message for me to put together and teach and preach while also going through a very difficult time as well. And to long story short, this week we lost a family member due to cancer. And having this opportunity to also preach on the hope we have in Jesus while in the midst of a season of grief as well is a very intriguing time to be preaching. And as I thought about it, I kind of went back and forth of with myself and with God, how do I preach a message while also talking about the hope and glory of Jesus, but also being honest about what I am currently experiencing through my family and through the loss that we are going through, and still preach the hope that Jesus' death and resurrection represent. And so I had to really think about, okay, when it comes to Easter, there's going to be four perspectives that we're going to take. There are going to be four things that we kind of struggle with. And the first one, the first perspective and the first kind of spot that we might find ourselves during Easter or just any day of the year, and not just Easter, is we may find ourselves in a place of hurting. And in that season of hurting, you are currently walking through hard things, grief, heartache, loneliness, disappointment, pain, sickness, a lot of things that ail us or hurt us. And then another position we might find ourselves in is in healing. You're in the process of healing through the things that you've been hurt by, and you're sifting through and allowing things to heal rather than fester. And the third thing is you might find yourself in a hoping season. You're hoping because healing has come, and you've seen the goodness of God through the hurt and the healing. And lastly, you might find yourself in a place of, I call it heart. And it's a place you're hoping because healing has come, and you've seen the goodness of God through the hurt and the healing. Oh, that was hoping, sorry. I read that. But heart is that when we are in a place where our hearts have been hurt and healed, the hope in our hearts through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can share that with everyone. And so I had to think about the whole story, and I wish I could read all four gospel accounts because there's so many different things that are occurring in this moment, that are occurring through Jesus' resurrection and the time period from the thing that we call Silent Saturday, from the in-between of death, Jesus' crucifixion, to the in-between where now he's dead. All the disciples maybe are probably more than confused. And here's the reality of the context of what they're facing. They've spent time with this man who is Jesus, who has been performing miracles. They have this idea of who this, they have this ideal perspective of who their Messiah is. And now he just died. So all their hopes, their dreams of their idea of the coming king is kind of shattered right now. They've seen Jesus perform miracles. They've seen him turn water into wine. They've seen him heal those who are sick. They've seen him do, he resurrected people from the dead. And now he's laying in a grave. He's in a tomb. And his disciples are either feeling immense grief, doubt, are faced with their betrayal, and they're questioning, who is this man I followed? Who is this Jesus that I believed in? Now he's gone. And I've had to think about this because we're going to go through life, and we're going to go through life. I think majority of us will go through life scathed. We're going to go through things that are going to be difficult. We're going to go through things that are going to hurt us, that are going to make us contemplate what life is. What is the purpose of my pain? What is the purpose of my loss? What is the purpose of these feelings that I'm going through right now? And I think what the beautiful thing about Easter is, it really paints this picture of the duality of life that we face. That Jesus on the cross represents that he is hope and joy, but he's also grief and sorrow at the same time. That those two things bridge and they could come together, and we could experience what Jesus really talks about when it says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And this is not to say that because of the cross, because Jesus died, it's not me saying that, oh, now life is fine and dandy because Jesus died on the cross. I think it's easy for us to get that perspective that because Jesus died, I need to be fine. And I feel like we do ourselves a disservice when we take on that perspective. When we take on a perspective that, yes, Jesus is God and he is good, but we push aside the things that we feel. And more often than not, we push aside the things that are negative, hence what I'm going through, this process of grief once more. I've been very honest as I've talked with Nick and a few other friends of just, this week has been heavy. There's been a couple other friends also going through an experience of grief. And then I've ran into other friends that are just also facing crazy situations that just make no sense. And it's the time of Holy Week where we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection, and how do we as Christians still cling to that hope and know that Jesus is still good, even when we're going through hard situations. And so I've kind of had this back and forth lately of like, okay, God, why am I here again? Because if you don't know me, if you know a bit of my testimony and the life I've lived so far, I've lost a handful of loved ones in my life. And that's been a very difficult thing to face. And it's been a very difficult thing for me to process and also be like, okay, God, like, I posed the question with Nick of how much is too much for a person to handle? Where is my breaking point with loss? How does one handle this? And so I had to go back to, okay, I was kind of going back and forth with, am I actually going to preach this Sunday? Because I don't even know. How can I preach on something where right now, I don't quite feel this hope right now. Like watching my family process this time and also be going through this loss where it's so just like, my family's been here before, and I think it's easy for me to take on the perspective, okay, God, like, I don't know. Like, why my family? Why do we have to experience this? But then also at the same time, like, God's really been giving me this different perspective. And you heard me mention the duality of life that we're going to be faced with. So as I've been walking through this grief, and I will be walking through this grief because losing a loved one is not an easy time. And Easter, I think, comes with a lot of memories for people. And you're going to be faced with just, oh, well, you're going to be faced with nostalgia in some senses. You're going to think about the good things, but then you're also going to think about, oh, man, this person's not here in my life anymore. How do I walk through this? How do I honor this, but also celebrate what Jesus did? And here's the beauty of it all. Here's the beauty of why Easter is a great thing to celebrate, whether we're in good times or we're in bad times. Because I think it's a very interesting thing that I've thought about, where we are the only living beings that are conscious to actually have hope. We admire the beauty of nature and creatures and all the animals that we see around the world. But I don't see any of these creatures showing signs that they have hope. We are the only created beings that are capable of hoping. We're not just, in a sense, what some people believe, just animals that evolved. We're sentient beings that are able to actually feel what hope is. And that's the beauty of just what Easter is. It really puts into perspective where our hope lies in. And when we're faced with hard things, when we're faced with very difficult situations, whether it is through the loss of a loved one or through a heartbreak from relationship or career switch or whatever it is we face, it's going to put into reality where our hope lies. In one of the Gospels, it talks about from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the content of our hearts will be revealed a lot of the time when we face tragic situations. The content of what's in my heart will be revealed in how I pray. And whether that is, I think, sometimes we like to guise our prayers with nice words and be not completely honest with how we're feeling. And what I think the beauty of Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting and ascending is it allows us to believe that I'm also okay to feel what he felt. Because we do know that we have a high priest that also empathizes with us. So that should allow us to also recognize that, oh, if Jesus felt great grief, I should also be allowed to feel great grief. If Jesus felt anger towards defilement of his temple, I should also feel the same way. I think oftentimes we let some intense emotions be pushed aside because we deem it as, I can't feel that way. I have to be good. And I think the holy time of Easter and just what the resurrection of Jesus represents just to our day-to-day life, because we don't have to just celebrate this on the holy week of Easter and Passover and all this stuff. We get to recognize this every day of our lives. And it's going to be a challenge. I'm not saying it's going to be like, this is the formula and this is the solution. This is what A plus B equals C. And everything magically works. Because I'm going to be completely honest, this week has been very tough on me. All I have really wanted to do is just sleep and be in my room. Because walking through the motions of grief and facing the reality of also my life, it means I can't just stand still the whole time. Like, yes, be still. Take a moment. Give yourself the time. But you're also going to have to take the step and realize, like, I can't just stay still the whole time. I can't just wait here. Like, I have to let God, okay, he's lighting my path. Am I going to take the step? We're going to go back to this whole four things that I talked about, the four positions of hurting, healing, heart, and hope. Or hope and heart, sorry. It's a very, in my opinion, good way to kind of sift through where you are in life. And I think when we are able to recognize what Jesus did on the cross, we could see that in the greatness of what Jesus did, that any feelings of despair, regret, pain, hurt, hopelessness, loneliness allows us to look upon him and know that he bore those burdens for us so that we may experience the goodness through him. What Jesus did allows us to live life abundantly in the dualities of life that we face. The cross doesn't mean now that we live life fine and dandy all the time, but it allows us to live without a lasting sting that death and sin bring. And when it comes to this and the whole Easter story, here's the thing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he was just good. But because he rose again, we could recognize that he is God. So all the things that he said to his disciples, all the things that he was saying of living life abundantly, that he came to fulfill the law and not abolish it, all the things that we read in the Gospels, we could stand firm in knowing that he is God because he rose again. And that's a great thing for us to hope in. That regardless of what I am going through, I have a living hope in Christ. That I might be experiencing pain and heartache, but I could sit at the feet of Jesus and know that he also knows. That he is not far away from my grief. He's not far away from my sorrow. He's not far away from my pain. That the experience that I'm going through is not unfamiliar to him. And the beauty of the cross and his resurrection and his ascension allows us to recognize that and also be comfortable with the hurt, with the pain. It's not an easy thing. And if you're new here, and if you're watching online, this is what we do as a church. We get uncomfortable a little bit. We give ourselves 10 minutes of silence and solitude. And I have a prompt and a challenge as you sit in these 10 minutes is to really think about those four things. Like, where am I hurting? Identify those things. So once you identify those things, you could find out, okay, this is where I need healing. But you could also identify, okay, I'm actually healing in this area. Okay, now what does hope look like for me in these places? And then the great thing about heart is you've experienced the first three, and now you could give that to other people. That's what the gospel is. That's what Jesus did. And so in these next 10 minutes, I challenge you guys, take just this personal moment to process your season of life, to process where you are currently, and be honest with yourself. You don't have to hide from God. You don't have to pretend everything's fine and dandy, because Jesus would rather have our honesty. Jesus would rather have the reality of what we're facing than a nice, gussied up picture of our life. God's okay with our mess. And it's okay to feel that, because only God, only Jesus is the only one that could take that burden. And he took that burden. And so in these next 10 minutes, I challenge you guys to just go through those things. And before we close, I just want to read these verses from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to the end of the chapter, and it reads this: Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So let's pray, and then we'll worship. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for just your life and your resurrection, God, and just what this week represents and just what you're doing in our lives, God. And I just pray that tonight we get to worship you fully and that we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, God, and, in good and bad seasons, Lord. I just thank you that we can praise in both. And I just pray that as we end our evening in worship, Lord, we just give it all to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.